My notes. Where did my notes go? Okay, here we go. All right. So we are moving into our module on time. It's called Move with the Flow of Time, because I've learned over many, many decades that is a useful way of thinking about time. We've got two sessions for this module, and to be able to really look together at this topic of time. Next week on our second call in this module, we'll be looking at more of the, I don't know, the best way to describe it is kind of outer tools that you can use with yourself and with clients, to really be able to move with the flow of time. And I love those tools. And they can be really useful and really helpful. I use them in my own life, and they really help me feel like I have spaciousness and can get done. Well, I don't always feel like I have spaciousness, right? Sometimes they help me feel like I have spaciousness. And those tools definitely, hate to use the word productivity, but you know, for lack of a better word right now, they do allow me to be productive in the times and the moments where it's aligned to be productive. So we'll look at those tools next week. But this week, before we can get to those tools, really what we're looking at this week is more of the inner pieces around time. What I have really seen over the years is that the tools that we'll look at next week, sometimes they work on their own because they're good tools. But sometimes the tools are that those outer tools are only as good as the client's inner relationship with time. And for some clients, it's important to go a little deeper with them. And really take a look at some of the underpinnings around time, their relationship with time. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today in a lot of different ways. This is another, like last week when we looked at the mystery, this is another one of those philosophical calls. But I think it's one of those philosophical topics that is really valuable for us as humans and really valuable for us to hold for our clients as well. So that's how we're gonna do the next couple of weeks. Before we jump in, just a quick reminder that the special offer that I made for Advanced Depth, if you wanna continue the work together in Advanced Depth, that's good until this Friday. The 15th. My heart is so full from those of you that have been stepping in. The circle that's coming together is phenomenal. And if it's something that you've been thinking about, now is the time. If you have any questions or if you want to talk about it, get in touch. I can hop on the phone in Ball or Caitlin can hop on the phone. Let us know. And of course, no matter what, my heart is with all of you, but I did want to give that nudge since we've got a couple days left, and I'll send another email or two as well. Okay, so all that being said, time in general is one of those issues that comes up when we're working with clients. It may come up specifically as named, like, I don't have enough time, I need more time, so it might come up specifically named, or it might come up in other ways. I'm not getting things done. I feel like there isn't spaciousness in my life. I have such a long to-do list. I keep on showing up late. I have a lot of anxiety about everything that needs to get done, right? So it can come up in lots of different ways. And if time in one way or another isn't working well for a client, if they're not moving with the flow of time, that can be a big obstacle to them creating what they want for themselves in their life. It can also be an obstacle to them feeling the way that they want to feel in their lives. They might be creating what they want, but they may not be feeling the way that they want to feel. That may be related to time. If time isn't working well for a client, it might be that it's an obstacle for the client to have the values that they want to have in their life, to experience and live the values that they want to live in their life. So it is a good tool isn't the right word, but it's a good topic for us to really be able to support our clients to be able to navigate at the end of the day. How we experience time is how we experience our life. And how we spend time, if you want to call it that, spending time, is how we spend our life. So, all that being said, how do issues related to time show up for you? I'm going to invite you to take a few moments to make a list of either what's not working right now in your life, or maybe what you're tolerating because of an issue around time. So I'll give you some examples of this. But again, the invitation is make a list of what's not working right now, or what you're tolerating right now because of maybe an issue with time. So for example, perhaps you don't feel like you have enough spaciousness in your life or in parts of your life. Perhaps you have a self-care practice like meditation or something like that that has just gotten thrown out the window, and you're really because of time, and that's impacting your life. Maybe you are consistently showing up late for things that it's not aligned to show up late for. Maybe you're not creating some things that you would like to be creating in your life, your work, and part of that has to do with time. Maybe you're working much later or longer hours than what is right for you. Maybe you have anxiety because of all not having enough time and having a lot to do. Maybe there's a particular part of your life or activity in your life that you feel resentful about because it's taking up too much time. And beyond. So make a list of what's not working, or what you're tolerating and that you sense that time has something to do with that. Maybe you end up short with people in your life because you're feeling the squeeze of time. accidentally seeing. I just made the list. Yeah. Right. I list those things because I don't know of them personally. I've just heard. And I'd love to see in the chat what you're coming up, what you're seeing, or what's rising to the top for you. Julia is saying she procrastinates and then gets into the flow and then panics that time is done. Yeah, that is not out of the ordinary. I've definitely heard that before. What else? Kim, you are getting to something that we're going to look at later in the call today. Many of mine are also the same things that are happening around money. Time and money, philosophically and energetically, can be very connected. We're going to look at that. So you're already getting there, Kim. Chelsea is saying she's in a cycle of pushing, overdoing, and then is forced energetically or physically to slow down. And then you get more space, and then you overfill, and around that wheel you go. Yeah. Rose is saying, I have a much greater need to go deeper. And yeah, and going deeper can take more time. May not take more time than you have. Well, hopefully over the next few weeks, we'll get more clear on that. But I'm glad you're sharing that. Stanley's saying frustration about one activity taking more, an activity taking more from me than I want to give. That's interesting language that you're using there too, that the activity is taking from you. Perceived as that resulting in me not achieving what I want to achieve. Yeah. Yep. And then the guilt and the shame. Yeah. Resisting spring and summer. Yes. Jen is saying being a single parent and having kiddo priorities for transport. And then getting protected time for my professional commitments. Yeah, it's like so much. Especially, I send a big shout out to all the single parents out there that is real. And we'll look over the next 2 weeks, Jen, and see where some of the wiggle room there is for you. And my hope is that there is some, but I just always have so much honor and respect for single parents. Solveig is saying, worrying that I'm out of time to have a baby. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, these are great. I'm not going to read every single one of them out loud, but yes, to all of these. So, not everybody. There are some lucky people out there. But most people I have found have a misaligned relationship with time, or we can say the not an optimal relationship with time. And again, as I said earlier, how we experience time is how we experience our life. How we spend time is how we spend our life. And so if we have a misaligned relationship with time, that is going to impact how we experience our life. So take a moment and we'll just start to kind of toe dip into this. Take a few moments to write on what's your relationship with time? Like if you were in a relationship with time as an entity, describe that relationship. Is it a friendly relationship? Is it a distrustful one? Are you old friends? Get into the details of that relationship. And then let's take that a step further, or maybe find some more details in that. We all have beliefs, whether we realize it or not. We all have beliefs about time. So, examples of some beliefs about time: time is in control of me, I'm at time's will. There's never enough time. I'm someone who wastes time. Others have more time than me. Time isn't on my side. Life goes by too quickly. I can't have time because there's too much to do. Right, so those are some examples. What are some of your beliefs that have kind of been there, underlying there about time for you? What beliefs have you been operating on when it comes to time? Heather shared this powerful Heather, when has time ever been there for me? That's such a strong belief. Julie is saying, time is out of my hands. Yeah. I was very helpless. Time is out of my hands. I waste time. That's a label right there. I'm running out of time. Yeah. I waste too much time. I'll never figure out how to balance it. These are all very strong statements. And just think for a moment the impact of that. Rigid planning and time means loving someone And then the inverse, not being on time, means lack of care. I'd love to hear some voices on this beyond the chat. We've got more digging to do, but let's pause here. What are you seeing and noticing so far? What's feeling important? Time is a test. Julia.
Hi. Yes. Hi. I'm noticing that what's coming up for me is the idea that I can do everything that I want to do, but that time is out of my hands and it almost decides to bless me when it feels like it or as it feels like it, that my actions somehow don't contribute to the outcomes, that it doesn't matter, that if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. If it's not, it will not. And it doesn't matter what I do in between, which is just completely off. But
and it what? Say that again?
It's completely off, but that's what.
Yeah, how does that make you feel in your life with that kind of belief system?
Helpless, because I see myself do things and then there's a part of me that's like, what's the point, you know, if you're not ready for it or if it's not meant for you, or I feel helpless. And then I start overthinking and questioning what I'm doing and questioning the concept of time. And I'm sure it doesn't help that my dad died when he was 41, and for a long time I'd look at his life because I got to see it and think, did any of what he did matter? And on some level, I know that, you know, these questions don't lead anywhere good, or that there's a way I can stabilize the way I think or feel, but sometimes I feel helpless, like I'm just carried by a current. Before I know it, I'm out in the middle of the sea and I've forgotten where the beach is. That's where I am.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like in some ways it's nice to if we can tap into the current to help us use the energy of it. But it sounds to me like your own agency isn't in there at all, or your own will isn't in there at all. Yeah, so that's a place to start to work on. Good, thank you. Dottie.
Thank you. Time is something I've always struggled with, and what this is bringing up for me is like, I don't know, the philosophical tug of war that I have, like time isn't real, calendars are man-made, and how can you honor your your natural rhythms and cycles within the framework of our society? Because yeah. It really doesn't support that. So yeah. That's always been really hard for me.
Yeah. I hear you on that. It's in so many ways it's a construct, and yet it's a big part of our lives. it's become more than a construct, really.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, as we continue to look over these next few weeks, tell me if I'm getting this right, it sounds like for you, probably for a lot of us here, a piece of this is about finding that balance between having that flow and that spaciousness and that openness, while also having some structure that can help shape, help us kind of guide it where we want it to go. Does that land?
It does, yeah. And softening the resentment towards the structure that I grew up with.
That I just got chills when you said that. That feels like a place to look at and lean into. If we have resentment around like anything, right? Like specifically this, if our lives were very structured with time, or, you know, whatever it is, I don't know all the details for you, we're going to resist. We're going to put that into shadow in a way and resist even the positive, optimal parts of it. instead of taking the what is right and aligned for us from it and then leaving the rest behind. So that's a place to get in more optimal relationship.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Sharon.
Yeah, hi. So it's interesting because I wrote in the chat that I waste too much time. And I don't know if that's true or not, because I'm just doing what I'm doing, being who I'm being. So there's a way in which I've made peace with that for myself to a tremendous degree. I have a very easy life, I feel. I don't have children. I no longer have elderly parents that I'm taking care of and worrying about. My husband's pretty freaking self-sufficient, even though, you know, we have a partnership and I try and take care of him. And so I have a lot of space and I love it. And I think what I'm noticing in just this beginning inquiry is the places where I'm trying to help other people change their relationship to time. And they are like, I have a friend I just visited a couple of weeks ago, and she's a single co-parenting mom of a special needs young adult with a full-time job and advocating for her kid, taking care of her mom. Like literally she's got no time. And so like, if she were my client or, you know, she comes to me as a friend, but when I'm trying to help people who are like, go, 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 do, rush, 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 kids, parents, this, I want to come from a really helpful, authentic place. And I also feel like in a way I don't know what it's like to be that pressed. Is that making?
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And it sounds to me like that's a filter that you have and that you're checking that filter.
Okay.
Does that ring true for you?
Yeah, it does. And one of my things is to always, like, I want to help, especially women who, you know, a lot of it, I mean, you know, the ways, and you're talking a bit about it already, that we put the strictures on ourselves. You know, I'm always trying to help women have more of an inner feeling of spaciousness, and that you don't have to do all the things and try and be all that. And I'm also very aware of my own privilege in that I don't have things tugging at me. So I guess I'm just trying to be really super aware of how can I be of most support and help with other people with their time issues when I don't have those time issues.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's a couple pieces here I want to pull out. So first, 100%, like sometimes it's about supporting people to find more time so that they can get more done. From practitioner point of view, right? And then other times it's like, I mean, while I'm a believer of like there, you know, a little bit of like the magic of it, I'm also a believer of like, and there is so much, right? And that there, those are places for me to go deeper, but there are, right? And so sometimes it is about finding more of the inner spaciousness or just a different experience of the time and the expectations. So yeah, so much that. And again, I just want to share, I hear you checking your filters. Yeah. I do wonder, when you started your share, you said quickly, I think of myself as wasting time. And then you kind of quickly started talking about, you bypassed that. And I think that is my sense, Sharon, is that's playing into what you're saying here. It's not just that you have a lot of time and space. That's a wonderful thing. But if there is a belief in there that, oh, I'm so privileged and I'm like, because of that, I just waste time. Like I could be doing better things with, you know, or using time or whatever. Right. My sense is that's the hook for you. Am I hitting on something there?
There's a little bit of that. And especially like things like when people say to me, oh, when are you going to write your next book? I'm like, I've got tons of time to be doing that. And that's not really what I'm thinking about or wanting to do, even though people think, you know, that would be a great thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, but I don't have, you know, I thought I was going to learn how to crochet during the pandemic and all my little great nieces would get hand crocheted things from Aunt Sharon. Got about this many rows in. So yeah, there is something there that I, on the one hand, I have a lot of peace about who I am and how I operate in the world. And on the other hand, there is a sense of, yes, some not always like things to show for the time that I have.
And if you were to name that part of yourself, the sloth, the lazy one, the time waster, what would you name that part of yourself?
Probably the sloth.
Yeah, the slug. Yeah. And when you think about that part of yourself, the slug, what's that one like, and how do you feel about that one?
It's changed over time. And I think as I've gotten older, and I am, on the one hand, I feel ageless. And on the other hand, very aware of the fact that I'm moving into my mid 60s and like what? So I spend a lot of time thinking, reflecting, reminiscing, and not necessarily feeling like, and then that has to turn into a blog post, or, and then that has to turn into whatever the next book may or may not be. So that's, yeah, it's kind of this interesting balance of, you know, being very content and having a sense that maybe something is supposed to come of it.
Yeah. So it seems like you've got the wisdom. It's just about leaning in there more in those moments.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Rose.
This is such a juicy topic. And I'm really struck by your statement that how we experience time is how we experience life. And a little bit of, oh, geez, it's a little, I don't know, painful is the word, but I spent my life up until fairly recently moving through life very, very fast and always feeling like I didn't have enough time. So what was I saying? That life wasn't enough, you know? And I think, so it's painful, sort of that lost, I mean, that was the consciousness that I had. I always felt I had to, I ran ahead of a lot. I ran ahead of the pain, the fear, the, you know, achievement was huge. And so in this wintering time that's been, you know, I'm in my third year of it, really, I'm changing my relationship with time. And I'm a guardian of my time. And there's a preciousness about time. And I still struggle with not being enough or being able to do enough in the time, but I am not willing to do that, live at that pace. And so how I experience time is how I experience life, which is more spaciousness, at least moving in that direction. It's not fully there yet, but boy, do I feel it. So thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you. I love that. And I'm, it feels like you're in process, like we all are, but that I love hearing that there is that spaciousness that is sometimes available there for you.
Yes. And the opportunity for me is not to judge the past because, you know, there was so many reasons and so much good and so much, it was all perfect because, so, you know, it just is all okay. Yeah.
It is. It's all okay. Yes.
Thanks.
Such good pieces. And I'm quickly catching some of the pieces in the chat too, which are great. And Solvay is bringing God into the conversation. I think I saw that somewhere, which is segue into what I kind of wanted us to look at next. Now, this next piece, in every group, like some people are like, oh my gosh. And then other people are like, nah, that doesn't do it for me. So don't, you know, I'm just offering this again, like for our own inquiry and as we support clients. This may or may not resonate, but I'll put it out there. We can take a look and debate if you like. Oftentimes, our beliefs about time and or our relationship with time mirrors either our beliefs about God and the universe, or our relationship with God and the universe, or mirrors our beliefs about authority figures and the power that those authority figures have over us, or our relationship with those authority figures, or just simply mirrors our own feelings about our own value and worth. So, for example, and I know that's a mouthful, so let me know if you want me to explain that a little bit more, but I'll give some examples. For example, if one of your top beliefs about time is similar to what Julia shared, I'm helpless against time, or time is in control of me, does that relate to any beliefs or relationship with the universe or God or authority figures in your life? Or time isn't on my side, or others have more time than me, et cetera, et cetera. Again, for some of you, it's gonna ding, 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 and probably for others, maybe not, but let's take a moment to look at that relationship with universe, God, spirit, authority figures, et cetera, when it comes to time. And our relationship and beliefs about time. Stanley, did you have your hand raised?
I did, and I keep putting it down. I don't know why, but it's funny. The first question that you asked, my initial response, just gut response, was, I feel like my relationship with time is like a supervisor I don't like, who is constantly giving me their feedback that I haven't asked for.
Yeah, that relates so much to what I was just saying, right?
Yeah.
So where else do you know that from in your life?
As a person who doesn't, I really don't like people telling me what to do and how to do it. And having been in the military for 20 years, it's like,
oh, yeah. The military.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it could be that you're projecting some of those thoughts and beliefs in relationship with the military onto the relationship that you have with time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In past relationships where I felt controlled in some way. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So as you see that, what maybe opens up in terms of just starting to think about possibility for a different relationship with time, what would be more optimal?
That I can choose the type of relationship that I build with this time.
Feels like there's something that's yes, you get to choose, and I'm wanting to push you a little bit more. So if the current belief is time, this is my words, not yours, so tell me if I'm getting it right, but time is a relentless, strict supervisor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's something about having a positive relationship, a positive leadership relationship with time. And there's something about tying it to negative experiences with authority figures and wanting to remember the positive experiences with leaders and things like that and bring that in somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even if you don't have all the words right now, what if you were to put that together even just a little bit more?
Leadership relationship, my collaboration, there can be a collaborative relationship with time and with leadership and there's positive influence. I'm digging here, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. So let's pause there. So instead of time being the supervisor,
right?
What, tell me if I'm getting this right, what I'm hearing is time is a collaborative partner.
Yeah.
So let's just look at that a little bit more for a moment. What would be different for you and in your life if you were to approach time as a collaborative partner versus a strict supervisor?
I think what's shifting right now is that I would acknowledge their input instead of like pushing them aside and trying to be the full leader of it when they have valid, active, supportive input. So go ahead.
Oh.
Maybe I would stop being a dick to time. Uh-huh. And in turn, I would feel better about the relationship.
Yeah. And what would happen if you were to feel better about the relationship?
That,
and
that
stop
would be
being a dick and need to like take, you do all that pushback.
Yeah. It would just be more of a hand-in-hand relationship. And I think an acknowledgement of both of our strengths when it comes to how we move through the day or through life or whatever it is, and like just more respect.
Yeah. Tell me if I'm getting this right. As you were talking, what I was also thinking is things may be less exhausting for you.
Yeah, totally.
It feels like there's tell me if I'm getting this right, but as you were talking, it almost felt like there's a lot of energy going to try to like wrangle this thing that you think is wrangling you. Like there's a lot of life force that's getting caught up.
Yes.
In that. Did that land?
Absolutely. Yep.
So if this was a collaborative partner that you didn't have to fight against, and I heard you say you could use as a resource, there may be some energy, life force energy in there for you to reclaim.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely feel that.
Good.
Yeah.
So more we can do here, right? And then use all the tools that we've already learned, right? You can do some rewiring with the belief, this new belief, dialoguing with time, et cetera, to continue to lean in here. But for now, what are you taking that feels most important for you?
Just a relief from the struggle. And also, I mean, even just physically, I've felt my upper back kind of release some of the tension I've been carrying for months in terms of just feeling unsupported because of, I think, a lot of that push and pull with time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a huge thing.
Beautiful. Nicely done. You. Yeah, thank you. Sonia, I caught your comment in the chat, and I'm wondering if the work that Stanley just did answers your question, but if not, raise your hand and let me know and we can take a look at it. Kim.
Well, in listening to Stanley's conversation with you, it reminded me of a time when I was struggling with not having enough time. It was my language was, and I was so frustrated. And then I would wake up in the middle of the night and be unable to go back to sleep. And I found myself so frustrated, and it was just kind of overwhelming. And after a time of that, I found myself wondering if maybe time was gifting me this time in the middle of the night. And I began to use it instead of fight it. And it made such a difference. I was able to accomplish so much more. I was just as tired as I had been when I was struggling with it. But I began to sort of make friends with it. And I'd forgotten that. And I appreciated the reminder. And sometimes I feel like time gives me opportunity that I don't take advantage of, or I fuss against. And I often forget that when I'm in the middle of being angry with it.
I love that. I love that shift of perception and that language and this perspective of like, what if time is gifting me, right? What if time has gifts for me right now? Beautiful. Thank you. Dottie, is that you on the 416? Or whoever's on the 416.
Hi, everybody. It's Naomi. Sorry, I'm joining you on the phone today. Great to be back after a little bit of a hiatus. I'm really grateful for our topic today. This is something that I have a big struggle with. So a lot has come up with your questions. And I don't even know where to begin. Okay, I'll just start with what's come through. And what's come is an overall fear and feeling of my life will be cut short. I lived with that for a long time due to having Holocaust survivors and those who perished in the Holocaust in my ancestral line. And also great grandparents who committed suicide.
We're cutting out a little bit.
Oh no, can you hear me now?
Oh yeah, now I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, I'm driving. No, I'm not the driver, but I'm in the car. Just this feeling that like my ancestors, my life was going to be cut short somehow. That was a big piece to look at. And then thinking about with authority figures, when I think about my mom and teachers, I always felt rushed as a child. I always wanted to take my time and to move really slowly and very lackadaisical. I was always the last one in the class to like pack up my bag, still am really slow. I'm a slow mover. I was always chastised for that and taught to rush, taught to speed up and not waste anyone else's time if I was late. I guess I always felt like I was always on someone else's schedule.
Yeah.
And my life as a child, I was very over scheduled. I was a competitive dancer and I danced like 16 hours a week at one point, you know?
Yeah.
So there wasn't as much time for boredom and for spacious play. And there's still a piece of that that's ongoing in the sense that, you know, I have two kids and they're at the forefront of my life, my mom before everything else. And so I always want to be the one to take them with kids from school. And so if I don't get things done, like I work all night to finish it. And I stretch time, but what gets lost is sleep. I give up sleep in exchange for doing everything, you know? And just like trying to from a child, this old thing of trying to fill up every ounce of my time, and I still run late and procrastinate as a big piece of me wants and needs to move slower. And it's like this really old pattern that I'm fighting. I'm at odds with my timing.
Because there was this devaluing of your pace and rhythm in a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes so much.
yeah, my final note that I wrote was this desire to be more and do less.
Yeah. So that there's a lot, I resonate with a lot of what you're saying. And if we were to just kind of pull this piece out around this, around your pace, it feels like that's a great place to go deeper with. I know that you've known this intellectually, right? That you desire more space, that your natural rhythm is slower, that really like a deeper value is about doing less, you know, being more, doing less. And I also want to honor that you're busy and, you know, all the things. But where's the opportunity here for you, or what's the possibility here for you?
Great question. As my children are screaming in the background.
Perfect. Right? So even with the kids, right? What's the opportunity here? What's the next opportunity here for you?
I need more support. I need to be okay with asking for more help. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on that so much. I have been asking, and my husband's amazing and has shown up when I've asked for that support. And I think it's also needing, like, you know, maybe hiring a babysitter twice a week, or like friends always ask me to pick up their kids from school, but I never ask them. So it's just kind of recognizing that people ask me and I can ask as well. Just finding, reaching out for that support so that I don't have to be up late at night, and I can just figure out what can fit in the time that I actually have in the daytime. And during the pandemic, I didn't really have much of my branch at theater, my company's work going on. And I was also, in some of our calls, I was questioning ending branch at theater, you know?
I love this idea. And if this resonates, what I would say is, based on everything that you're sharing, I would guess that part of what can really allow you to ask for that support is to come back to honoring your own pace and rhythm and valuing it more. And the more that you don't just like, you know, give it lip service, but really, really honor that there is a part of you that wants to move at a slower pace, then the kind of like, in a good way, the more critical it will be for you to get that support you need.
Yeah, thank you. That's great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Rose, I'm going to come back around and get you. I want to just keep on moving forward a little bit more, and then we'll have time for more shares. So hopefully this conversation is stirring and we're all kind of seeing the different layers, right, to this relationship with time and beliefs around time. Based on everything that, all the exploring that you've been doing so far, what are you seeing that you would like to believe about time? So whatever your current belief is, use that as a jumping point, right? So what is it that you would like to believe about time that would work better for you than the current belief? And Sonia, I saw your hand up and then I saw it go down. If you want to share or take a look deeper, don't be shy. We'll have more share time in a little bit. I love what Stanley is sharing with you too. Lisa saying, I would like to believe that there is plenty of time to do, well, sorry, my chat moved there, to do everything that I want and need to do. I love that, Lisa. This may speak to my limits in my relationship and beliefs about time. Well, I'm just wondering, does that work for you, or does that feel like something that's unattainable? That belief. Raka saying there's enough time for everyone to live in their natural rhythm. Time is my ally. Heather saying time is eternal. It has always been there for me and will be there for me forevermore. That is working for you. Good, Lisa. Okay, then that was my own filters getting in the way. Who else? What other beliefs are coming through? Time is my container, safe, supportive, and nourishing. What else? Time is on my side. All right, so whatever belief is coming through, what might change for you if you were to believe that more? What might change for you? What might change for you if you were to move more into believing this possible belief that you've just uncovered or crafted? Tracy.
Hi. I was going to share what we were journaling about. Is that what you want me to share?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I jumped on a little late, so I didn't get everything. But I did realize what you what would change for me. I wouldn't pack my schedule with lots of to-do things. Like in my business, I would actually do the things that would move my, you know, serve me and my business. Because I have this feeling like I need to just work from 8 to 5 every day or even longer, even though I'm my own boss. Why do I think that?
Yeah, it can be so easy. I've been there myself many, many, many times and still get there sometimes of like, if I do more, then that means that I will create more or I am more or whatever it is. And of course, our businesses need for us to show up and take actions 100%. But being really clear on what are the actions that are going to move us forward versus what is the busy work that's actually just making me feel better about myself, maybe, but then not, because, right? That's huge to be able to delineate between those two.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So how can we relate all of this to our client work? So first of all, just opening up the conversation, supporting clients to create awareness just like we've been doing together today, looking at beliefs, doing the belief work in the ways that we've done it today, or, you know, taking it a step further, using the rewiring process. As you create the awareness, maybe it will come up to use the wheel of self-sabotage process on this, something that Chelsea was saying earlier about cycles. Chelsea, you could do a wheel on this one. You could frame it with clients around fears about time versus beliefs about time, or maybe they will bring up that concept of fear around this or that, and you can do a befriend your fear. I started to go there a little bit with Sharon, but if we were to take it further, you know, to name a part as you create awareness in the conversation, to name the part of themselves that they're struggling with when it comes with time, right? So for Sharon, it was the slug. And then to go deeper with that dialogue with the slug, learn more, befriend it. One thing to be aware of, and one thing to be aware of, is that when you start to create some awareness for some people, not always, but every now and again, when you start to create awareness around beliefs about time or relationship with time, etc., there may be resistance when you just start to poke at that a little bit. And that's because beliefs about time, again, may relate to something bigger in our lives. Beliefs about universe, authority figures, relationships that we have, our own deserving, etc. So it may be that as you step in, there are some resistance archetypes that come up. Sonia, that may be the case for you. I'm not sure. In terms of, you know, as you start to look at this. Also, it's like, because a lot of times we cling on to those beliefs that we have about time because we've really organized, like there's, even though it's not working for us, like there's safety in it. We've organized the careful balance of our life around these beliefs that we have about time, whether we realize it or not. And so there can be a clinging on to that as well. So creating awareness, the belief work, the fear work, one way to work this inner relationship with time. Another tool, supporting your client to, and I saw some of this in the chat, I think Bruce and some others brought it up, supporting your client to make friends with time and cultivate trust with time. So supporting clients to become friends with time and cultivate trust with time. What would be possible if we were to make friends with time? So if that's something that resonates for you, one piece of homework is to dialogue with time. You can journal from the voice of time. You can ask it questions like, what questions would you want to ask of time? How can we be better friends? Maybe, what do I need to know about you? Et cetera, et cetera. All right, let me pause there. There's some other tools I want to look at today. But any thoughts, anything more that you want to add, or any questions around creating awareness, going deeper, you know, into the belief work, etc., or cultivating trust with time, making friends with time? What else wants to be added around those pieces, or what questions want to be asked? Dottie.
Thanks. I have a question going back to, you know, how we, our beliefs about God, the universe, authority, our own value and worth reflect time. My brain is getting snagged on God and authority because I was raised Catholic and I'm still recovering from my Catholic hangover. And I, you know, seeing, trying to undo that sky God mentality. So how, I don't even know how to ask this question, I guess. If somebody is struggling with that, like sees God as authority, how would you help?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, my, as you're talking, the first thing that comes to mind is to create more awareness around that, right? So if, you know, they, if they see, first of all, they may not even realize that they see God as an authority figure, right? So first, just to create awareness around that, but then to even get into some of the details, right? So like, what is the nature of this authority figure? How does their authority impact you? And how has that impacted your life? So to start to get into some of the details and the crags to create awareness. And again, always coach the what based on the who, but you know, depending on what comes through, can go in a lot of different directions, but it might be, for example, from there, and then it's like, okay, well, what are other versions of that authority figure? Or what if it's not an authority figure?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Who else? What else wants to be added so far as we look at these tools, or what questions do you have? All right, then let's look a little bit more. Another great tool, this is a little bit of an outer, but I think is an inner one too. It's a little bit of both. Supporting clients to feel that they can make requests of time. So what I mean by that is, especially if we have a tendency to feel like time controls us, or we're helpless against time, or it's like the time is just the thing that's happening and we don't have agency in there. It can be helpful to kind of shift that a little bit and to actually make requests of time. And this wording may not be it exactly, but harness time a little bit. So in some programs that I have, and actually for those of you that are in Curriculum Lab, you know, we have Get It Done sessions. And one of the things that I love about Get It Done sessions, whether it's in a group or whether you create your own Get It Done session, which I'll talk about in a moment, is that when we name and assign a container, a period of time, and we have an intention for that period of time of, this is what I want to get done, or this is how I want to experience what I get done and experience time as I get it done, something magical happens in that space. But we have to be willing to actually ask time to be on our side and to like to open up, to be there, to hold us, to get the thing done. So one of my regular practices is exactly what we do in Get It Done sessions. I put aside an hour, 75 minutes, 90 minutes, sometimes just 30 or 45 minutes, whatever it is. And I say, this time is expressly to be used for this thing. And usually the this thing is the thing that I'm having struggle like getting done, because I'm doing all the other things that I think I need to do or that are easy to do or that I'm already patterned to do, et cetera, right? But like the important thing, so I'll set aside that time either for that important thing that I want to get done, or maybe it's something that I do regularly, but I want to bring an intentional energy to it. I don't want to be like, ugh, writing that newsletter article again. Oh, it's so hard and struggle and right. But you know, that might be something I do regularly, but I want to use that 60 minutes with the intention and the request of time is I'm going to write this article and I am bringing the energy of creativity to this. Time, meet me there. I am bringing the energy of flow to this. I'm bringing the energy of lightheartedness to this, whatever it is. So being intentional, creating pockets of space and time for what we would like to create, or to be intentional about how we create it. At the end of the day, it's not, I mean, it is a little bit about what we do, but right, it's the quality of how we spend the time that is so important as well. All right, let me pause there. Any thoughts on that? Anything to add to that? Any questions on that? Rose.
Okay, this really resonates with me because I think it's taking time out of, for me anyway, out of almost an adversarial relationship, which I think came from, I relate time to life, to source, to abundance. I mean, I had sort of an abandonment experience from trauma early on that I've been healing my whole life. And so this kind of brings time to into the mystery and into the energetic aspect of time, which frankly, I feel much more comfortable with. I mean, this is something I feel like I can work with as opposed to sort of the linear flat way I think I use, or punitive way I think I relationship I had with time. So yeah. This is really, because I have had serious struggles with time, and but bringing it into relationship, energy, mystery, it's got some new potential.
I'm so happy to hear it. Yeah, and when we do Get It Done sessions as a group, doesn't happen all the time for everyone, but so often people get to the end of it and they're like, time expanded for me. I can't believe I got that done, or you know, whatever it is, or, you know, I didn't get everything done, but I feel so good about the time that I just spent. It is like when we can tap into that, make that request and into that magic and mystery that you're talking about, there are some things that are possible there for sure.
And I think from the art, as an archetype, I think there was a victim aspect of me and time. Like I was the victim of time, not enough time. And this way, you know, it opens up wide up. It expands it and to shift the archetype to something beautiful, or something I want, or just something I don't want.
I love that. Yes. Really nice. Naomi.
I love the idea of Get It Done sessions. I may have missed that in your other sessions that I have to catch up on, but this brings up the idea of co-working spaces for me.
Yeah.
A lot of them are online that I've been accessing right now, or in the past as part of a co-working space that would be supportive. actually, I just didn't get things done. And yet at the same time, I feel like sometimes I get really distracted in those intentional spaces because my imagination just starts moving through a lot of exciting clouds. And so I'm curious if you have any thoughts around intentional time and focus.
Yeah. So, all right, two things on that. First of all, as you were speaking, I just couldn't help but thinking about your previous share, Naomi, and how there's like such a deep desire, like how your natural rhythm is to have more space and be in that creative and all of that. And there is a desire for that. So in a way, like I'm almost not surprised that when you create that container to be intentional, it almost feels like you're slipping into some of that natural rhythm that you don't get enough of in your life.
Yes, that's beautiful. Thanks.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could look at, you know, how to focus more. And actually, I will answer that question in a second. But I guess the reason I'm bringing this up first is to say, like, maybe that's what you need first, you know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe the first X amount of minutes or time of the co-working session, like, you're like, no, I am going to let myself be in that rhythm, right? And give that to yourself first. And then get more focused.
Okay, great. Yeah, sometimes I tend to, I guess, get frustrated with myself that I've wasted my intentional time, you know, by just moving into that imaginal realm. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I really, it feels like there's opportunity here for you to, like, for real value more your imaginal realm. And that doesn't have to end up taking up everything and then you don't get things done. I actually think you'll get more done if you give more breathing room to your imaginal realm.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Tracy.
Okay, so I have a question about what we're talking about, not so much related to my business, but I mean, I think it's all interrelated anyway, but it's specifically with my husband and then, you know, my family. They're all really, everyone's very driven and successful in my family and my husband specifically. And so even when we travel on vacation, we have, you know, we're really on time, we're very punctual, and then we go into like a city in Europe and it's like he needs to see like 40 different castles and like every museum in like the 3-hour time frame, right? And it's like I would rather just like, you know, wander through some random alleyway, have like a baguette and like sip some coffee on a, you know, like in the little piazza. And so but I also want to get going too. Like I don't want to be late for the flight or anything, but so how do you marry those different energies without like conflict? Because they both have their place.
Yeah, for sure. So taking the other person out of it, which is your husband, we'll bring them back in. But it's actually what you're talking about is actually in some ways related to what Naomi and I were just talking about,
yeah.
Right? It's like, both, like there are moments to focus and right, and then so you know, so like when I hear you talk, and I know this is not this may or may not be possible, you can tell us, but I'm like, what if you and your husband have some agreements, right? Mm-hmm. That in each day or whatever it is, there's some like walking down the alleyway, getting right, sitting in a coffee house, watching the people go by. There's actually, again, almost get it done space for that. Like you create a little bit of a container for that.
Yeah.
And then you also know that you have a container to like do the schedule. Also.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that makes sense to actually verbalize it instead of expecting it just to happen naturally. And then when it doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Always. Right. Verbalizing and communicating. Right. And I mean, you know, this may be a bigger conversation or not, but like to say that's part of my enjoyment of the trip and the value of the trip for me is to have some space to just be and explore or sit or like find that cute little shop that we otherwise wouldn't have.
Love it. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, you're so welcome. And I love it. Like it is a metaphor for life too. Okay, we have just a few minutes left. So I'm gonna just wanna share a couple of other things quickly. Sometimes an inner peace with time, for some people, having time can be related to one's ability or willingness to receive. One's ability or willingness to receive. So if there are beliefs around I don't deserve, I can't receive, I only give, receiving makes us weak, any kind of beliefs or difficulties around truly receiving, then it is going to be hard to receive time. This is one of the ways in which time and money can be very related. There's a bunch of different ways, but if there is a block to receiving, then sometimes it's difficult to receive time, or sometimes it's difficult to receive money, or sometimes because we don't feel like we can receive all of it, we feel like we have to sacrifice one for the other. Another tool, this is a little bit of a subtle one, but one that can sometimes be helpful for ourselves and also for clients, is to be intentional about the language that we use when we're talking about time. So sometimes correcting language over time, sometimes correcting language can shift beliefs about time. So even if we just go back to like the top of this chat, with that first question that I asked around, I'm just going there for a second, beliefs about time, it wasn't the first question, and we look at some of the language, what might happen if we shifted some of that language? So, for example, instead of, or even just how we use language around time in our everyday lives. So, for example, I only have an hour to do that versus I'm blessed with an hour to do that. Or I've been gifted, I forgot who was talking about the gift of time, I've been gifted with an hour to do that. See, it's an hour either way, but what happens to the feeling of the hour when it's, I only have an hour versus I've been gifted with that hour? Two very different meanings. I get a day for vacation versus maybe I've created a day for vacation. Different meanings. So how can we, sometimes it's about looking at the language that we're using with time and then shifting from there. Okay, so let's take a moment. What are you taking away from our time together today? What feels important for you here? Where is a place? And maybe where is a place for you that feels important? And next step, and then what feels important practitioner-wise? What are you taking away? You'll have some homework. I want to hear some of the takeaways and any questions or last thoughts that you have before there. You'll have some homework. I'm going to invite you to track the language that you use around time. There's a resource sheet that's pretty elementary, most of us already know, just around slowing down with our breathing, if that's something that feels appropriate for you. Sometimes just that inner slowing down can make a really big difference, and a couple of other worksheets. So what are you taking from our time together today? What feels important, or last questions or thoughts? I'd love to hear from one or two of you. Rachel.
I have a question, if I may. I'm having trouble putting the question together, but I'm going to try. One of the things that's coming to mind for me is, like, with my clients, sometimes, like, I'll get triggered by, like, if they have, like, a block relating to time and its connection with security-related issues, like financial issues, like, I don't have time, it's, I'm going to run out of money. Like, that for me always, like, brings up a little bit of stress in a client session, also because sometimes, like, it's a bit of a trigger for me as well. And I don't know what my question is, but I guess I'm kind of looking for ways to kind of navigate that in a way. Yeah, do you have anything to share on that?
Yeah, I just want to first just make sure I'm asking. So the time-money relationship, when it comes up for clients, just explain a little bit more, is like, I can't give myself space because if I do, then I'm not going to make money.
Yeah, yeah, or I'm going to run out of money soon and... Yeah, like that they're like really anxious about it, and then
yeah,
sometimes yes. I get it, like I'm yes. like ah also like that.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. Okay, so that's the first piece. There are a couple pieces here. So that, you know, energetics is always the first piece, right? So you working on your, like, on that trigger for you, going deeper with that, seeing, you know, unpacking that a little bit more for yourself. And then, and being so that you can show up and hold a little bit more of a neutral space around it and not a like freak out or, oh my God, I need, right. Cause I don't know. Right. Like, but to just hold, remember in the end, I mean, I never have a real agenda other than holding the space to see what wants to come through. Right. So just first working on that trigger. And it's not like you're going to get rid of it completely, but just so that it's not so activating for you, or even just reminding yourself that, like, yeah, I've got that going on and I can still hold the space for this and see what comes through. And I may even learn something from my client about this. Yeah. If I don't get clingy or weird or whatever, right?
Yeah, like, I'll learn from this coaching session.
Right. So that's number one. And then from there, you know, again, it depends on the situation. Always coach the what based on the who. But there are a couple of different ways that it could go. And some of the tools that we look at next week will also help with that, with this. But I'll just, like, share a couple little things right now. So number one, it may be that, because I have periods of time where things have to, well, I shouldn't say have to, right? That's my belief. But I really, like, things feel like they really have to be full, certain periods of time. But that doesn't mean that I can't find inner space as I do those things. That doesn't mean that I can't enjoy those things more as I do them. That doesn't mean that those things can't feel more satisfying as I do them, right? So that could be one route to take, is how to create more of a sense of inner spaciousness or enjoyment, or whatever it is that they desire, right? That they're like, oh, because I have to do this much, I'm not getting X, or it feels Y, right? So you can go that route. And again, like that resource sheet I just mentioned, it's a very rudimentary way of just finding in any moment that we're in a little more space. So that's one pathway, depending on the person. Another pathway, depending on the person, is, okay, maybe there's a lot to do, but is there still some time and space left over for whatever else you need, or open time or whatever it is. So some of the tools we'll look at next week, just about getting a little bit more organized with time or priorities. It's a little bit like what Tracy was talking about earlier too, of like feeling like you need to do everything when actually you don't. There's usually like a couple of bigger activities that will take you the farthest, and all the other little activities are more busy work, right? So to look at it in that more analytical way can be helpful. Making requests of time. Okay, you have all these things to do, but how can we create these containers to get them done in? So is that sparking some thoughts for you as I share?
Yeah. Yeah, my takeaway is that I think I should take all of these and apply them to myself more, and then I can then I'm like going to be more confident applying it in sessions.
Okay, but no myth of perfection, right?
No.
Yeah, you just need to get started with it a little bit and go from there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, speaking of time, we're at time. So I would love to hear more takeaways if you want to share in the Facebook group as questions come up. Let me know. Enjoy this week as you walk with hopefully a little bit of a deeper inquiry around time. Maybe you'll do some conscious work with it. It's a juicy topic that can yield a lot sometimes. So I'm excited for you to walk with it and see what comes through. Enjoy the rest of your day.